Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of Lucas and Crawford on B-Ball Show. We do this show every Tuesday night, Wednesday night, I should say, every Wednesday night. That is Wednesday night, once again, Wednesday night at 10 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time. Boy, into Pacific Daylight Time already. How does time fly? And, of course, there's so much basketball going on right now, it isn't even funny. I am Greg Crawford, and you can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops or at Greg Crawford Basketball. blogspot.com, and I write in there quite often. You can also follow Crawford's Golf Daily blogspot.com. That's a combo of golf and business. But the real star of this show is Richard Lucas. He is the best State Farm insurance owner in the entire world, and he also happens to be a great basketball analyst, great father, great husband, and he gets that lawn mowed more frequently. He should have things in pretty good shape right now. And I never did ask Richard if he was the best free throw shooter around, but I'm going to ask him right now. Richard, how were you at free throw shooting?
Can we just move on to another subject, or is that something we definitely have to talk about?
You can give a 20-second answer. Start now.
I sucked.
That's the 5-second answer. All right, Richard, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
About you played high school ball successfully. You
yep.
played 4 years at Oregon, which was a lot of fun. Not many people got to play with the great Terrell Brandon. You
yep.
did. You coached. You played overseas. You coached. Of those four things, what has been, if you had to only choose one and do it for the rest of your life, what's been the most fun for you?
Wow, that's a really interesting question. And I'd have to say the first thing that came to mind was my time playing professionally overseas. I truly believe if I could, I'd still be there. Especially my time in Japan. I spent 3 years. I lived in Tokyo, Japan. I was there for 8 months, 4 months back at home. And we had a great apartment there in Tokyo, and the people were fantastic. I mean, just unbelievable people. Loved the culture. I learned a little bit of Japanese and just really, truly enjoyed my time there. And I got paid very, very well, and I played a game of basketball. So I would say of all those areas, all of them were great. I had great memories from every walk of those. But, yeah, I think if I had to choose one, it would be playing professional basketball in Japan.
Very good. And, Richard, I think, we hear about all these wars all the time, and that dominates the news and people wanting to kill Americans left and right. But I think, in general, internationally, Americans are kind of beloved by many people, as you just kind of alluded to, like a country like Japan.
Yeah, my time over there, while I was there, we were treated like royalty almost, and the people were so thankful for us and wanted to kind of ask us questions, and they were just so interested in America, like a big mystery almost. But again, I just of my time, I played in three different countries, and I met lots of great people in all three of them, but my time in Japan was really special, and it was just such a even my teammates and the management. I mean, get this: after my third year, we had made it to the playoffs. My first year, we made it to the finals, the JBL Japan Basketball League finals. My second year, and then my third year, we failed to make the playoffs, and so they kind of cleaned house. They let me go. They let the other American go, and then a few of the Japanese players go. And they kind of started over. Well, they had felt so bad that they were essentially releasing me that they gave me $1,000 in cash. And I'm like, what is this for? And they're like, well, just because we feel bad. I'm like, okay, I'll take it. You don't need to feel bad. It's a business decision. I get it. But so, I mean, this is the kind of people that we were dealing with.
Very interesting. And speaking of dealing with people, you own a State Farm insurance agency. You're highly successful at it. And I'll ask you in a little bit where that's at for our new listeners and how people can get a hold of you. But I've got another unique insurance question for you tonight, Richard.
All right.
You know, the rental business is becoming more and more prevalent all the time. I mean, I wasn't looking at houses this past weekend. I just stopped to look at a few. Inside the city limits of Portland, no view, hardly any lot, and you know, it's ridiculous, the price. So that's fine. If you can get it, you can get it. But more and more people are renting now. The rent occupancy rate is very low. What kind of insurance should a renter have?
We sell a renter's insurance policy that is very nominal in price. Our lowest amount would be about $9.50 or so per month, and it would cover $15,000 to $20,000 or so of your personal property. And a lot of times I hear people say, oh, I just don't have very much. I don't really need anything, need to cover anything. And my retort to that is, if I were to say to you right now, while you were at work, or while you were at school, or while you were out of your house or your apartment, if I came in there and I took every single thing that you owned, I mean every shoe, every pot, every pan, every jacket, every towel, and I took every single thing out of there, and you had to go out and replace all of it on your own, would that be expensive or not very expensive? And almost everybody says, well, yeah, of course, I had to go buy everything again, it would be expensive. And so, you know, for $9, for less than $10 a month, you could cover yourself and make sure that if something like that, which all of your belongings were gone due to a fire or due to theft or whatever it might be, that you have a $65 billion company like State Farm writing the checks instead of yourself.
Very good. Very interesting. Very, very well said about why people should get it. And Richard, I want to follow up just one more question.
Yeah.
Maybe I could save it for another program, but I think it's so pertinent and important. State Farm, do they have some sort of recommendation? You see so many more people say, I can hardly wait for my Cancun trip. And then they list the dates. And to me, that's just an open-ended invitation. I hate to say it, for somebody to do something bad to that person's house.
Yeah.
Do you see much of that? You know, people posting on social media that they're leaving town, or even saying just arrived at the Hard Rock Tavern, and then they're 25 miles from home. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing that you're absolutely right about that. Social media, it's great. Social media is great in many respects. It allows people to connect with others in ways that you never would have, 5, 10, 15 years ago. But it also is a recipe for disaster if you are giving a play-by-play of who's at your house or not. And I think that, you know, not so much, hey, if you're out at dinner or something like that, but really the vacation one, I think that's a huge one because people know that you are thousands and thousands of miles away. And if you don't have somebody watching your plays, you literally could, exposing your belongings to the bad guys who know exactly when you're going and when you're coming back. So I see it all the time. I mean, I have friends on my Facebook that say, oh, we're in Vegas. And I'm like, well, okay, that's good, but hopefully somebody's watching your – let's hope that none of the none of your friends who are on your timeline are also bad guys because you've just told us exactly where you were at.
Richard, how can somebody get a hold of you and where are you located at in beautiful North Portland, Oregon?
Yes, sir. We are in beautiful, I like to say beautiful downtown North Portland. I don't know if that works or not, but we're
that
located
works.
In North Portland. Okay. At 3549 North Lombard, in the heart of North Portland. And the phone number is 503-200-5545. Somebody wants to talk about insurance, of course, that's what we're there for, but also, you know, I love myself some sports, so I'd be more than happy to chat.
Very good. And speaking of sports, Richard, we talk mainly about basketball in this program. You know, I'm on with Brian Wheeler on his show. Brian is, of course, for people listening around the world that don't know, he is the voice of the Portland Trail Blazers on radio, been that for 15 years. I'm on with him once a week. And about 6 weeks ago, I mentioned, you know, everybody's talking about Wayne Tinkle. You know, actually, in reality, Dana Altman's doing a better job than Wayne Tinkle this year. Of course, that was one I was right on. I'm wrong plenty of times. But Altman named Coach of the Pac-12 Coach of the Year this year already.
Yep.
But what I wanted to ask you, Richard, was how far can these Ducks go? I think they can get their Sweet 16 team myself. And secondly, I was on with Brian today, and of course I said that there's no way that Oregon State is deserving of an NIT berth, and I think they proved that tonight. Great season, surprise season, but
yeah,
no postseason for the Beavers.
Well, I don't know if Tinkle is in the mindset of Craig Robinson, where they'll take any of them. I personally would not do the CBI. I think that is you're trying to set a tone for your program, and I think by going to do a CBI, I think you're almost saying, hey, it's okay to take whatever, you know. I'd rather just say, hey, we've done well above expectations thus far. Let's now in this, let's move on and get ready for next year, because he's got, you know, all those guys coming back. So that would be my personal opinion there. And one other thing about Tinkle, can we talk about him starting the five guys?
Absolutely, we can. Yeah.
So,
and
you know,
set up the scenario there, Richard, if you don't
mind.
Yeah.
So, you know, many of the programs around the country on Senior Day, on their last home game, a lot of programs will start the seniors who are in the program, and they'll play them for a few possessions, and they'll bring them out. Same thing happened when I was at the University of Oregon. We started Greg Senior, you know, as a senior, and you know, he played a few possessions. But it wasn't just five people that were non-players that were on the team at the same time. And I think that I'm in the minority because everybody thinks it was such a smart thing to do. But for me, I think it was a mistake. I think it was a mistake because I think it was as you could tell, they could barely get the ball past half court. And it was, you know, when you're in a rivalry game like that, you need to try to set a tone early and often as much as you can to get things going. And against a team like Oregon, I don't like giving away those possessions. Now, it was kind of rebutted. We talked about it on Talking Ducks that, well, you know, Oregon State came back or whatever it might be, and it was kind of close. But again, who knows what would happen if Oregon State scores on two of those first three possessions? What if they were an and one and a three-pointer? I mean, it could have changed the entire momentum of the game. And I say, if you ask me right now what those walk-ons thought about it, you know, would you say to those walk-ons, would you rather have not played and Oregon State potentially had beaten the Ducks, or played in those few minutes and caused, you know, a bunch of turnovers and couldn't get the ball past half court? I think they'd rather take the W. So, you know, I don't know. I thought it was, you know, you just don't see that. And at the very least, maybe you have the walk-ons have some sort of competition and one of the five starts, and that's the, you know, that's kind of how you honor them, if one of them gets to start. But starting all five, I thought was a mistake.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing about it, Richard, is you constantly have said in all your media efforts with me and on TV that you can't, the Ducks don't let up on the throttle. I don't see that the Ducks never lose. If you ever notice anything about Oregon, they're probably 90-1 when they have the lead of 5 points or more. So, yeah. You know, I mean, they just don't lose when they jump out to a lead, and I think that's an important factor there. And of course, you know, one thing that the media is misreporting, it's a minor thing. It was four walk-ons and one scholarship player, because the Stengel kid is under scholarship, and nobody bothered to check that. So I just wanted to throw that out.
He was a non-factor. Yeah, he was a non-factor. But,
just to be totally accurate for all our Beaver fans who might jump
exactly.
all over us.
Again, and this is me saying I would be mad if I was a Beaver fan and he did that.
Yeah.
And again, I'm on the minority because I know people thought it was a really great gesture and all that stuff. I say there are other ways you could have honored those guys, but that's not the time. You're trying to win some games. And as you just mentioned, the Ducks do not slow down. I mean, and it's all about momentum, and you've got a packed house. It was unbelievable to see a nice packed house in there and for a really great game. And I felt like it was almost like you know how somebody gets a technical foul before a game starts and you get a
right.
few points kind of handed to you before you even really get started. I feel like he kind of, you know, gave the Ducks a few points. And again, what was the margin of victory? It was a 3-point game. Now, not to say that would have changed anything, but I'm just saying that I just didn't think that was the right way to handle it, is having five of those guys that, you know, were, you know, four non-scholarships and, you know, one who's insignificant. I just felt that wasn't the right way to handle it.
Yeah, and you know, the other part of that is, Richard, that, you know, winning the game, not only you beat your rival, and it's a confidence booster, the final game of the year, you beat your arch rival that you've had trouble with, But that game might have got them into the NIT. They win that game, and then they win against Colorado, say, tonight, which they didn't. They got beat because they didn't play well down at the end. And that would have got them into the NIT, I think, really. So it's really kind of ramps up what you had to say. Richard, where do the Ducks end up here in the NCAA tournament? In your opinion, what kind of seed how far do you think they're going to go?
So seeding-wise is all going to be predicated, final seeding is going to be predicated on how they do over the next couple of days. I think that if they go out there and just, you know, not handle business against a very average Colorado team. But it's kind of amazing with that Colorado team, though, because – really, the pieces from last year's team are all really still there. I mean, they lost Spencer Dinwiddie, but for the most part, most of those guys are back. So it's kind of, you know, I know they've been dealing with injuries at different times, and so they haven't really had all five guys there at once. But still, the Ducks should take care of business tomorrow. If they were to lose, they're still in the NCAA tournament, but I think they're going to be a double-digit seed if that were to happen. If they, win the first one, I think it almost looks like every game they win, they may bump up. You know, even if they made it to the championship. And played, let's say, Arizona, and played them really tough and lost, the buzzer or something. You know, maybe they get to an eight, but I just don't see it really going much higher than that. There's just not a whole lot of faith in the Pac-12 overall, I think, from a national perspective. So now to answer where do I think they're going to do in the Pac-12 tournament, I think they're going to at least make it to that semifinal game. And very well could get to the finals. I don't think they win the whole thing. In the NCAA tournament, it's going to depend on seeding. If they play a team that has big guys that are both. See, this is the thing. If they play a team that has one stud inside, they are quick enough to be able to double team that post, and they are getting really good at rotations and things like that. So I feel like they could probably handle that. If they run up against a team that has a pretty good, five, a pretty good four, they've got another three that can also post you up. If they've got guys that are studs inside, and then on top of it, a team that has, perimeter players that can get to the rim, they're gonna struggle, and because they just don't have any size whatsoever. And also the other thing, the teams that are typically big like that can rebound. And so if you're gonna play a team that crashes the offensive boards, that makes it difficult too, because those guys are typically converting those offensive boards, and the Ducks don't like that. They want you to turn you over or get you to miss. And they want to get out in transition and try and get a quick bucket or a quick shot. So, that's when the big boys come out, is when you're playing in the NCAA tournament. I do think they'll win that first round game, and depending on who they play in that second round, they have the capability of doing it. I just have a hard time believing that this team is going to get much farther than that, if that at all.
Richard, I have one more comment about the Ducks, and then I want to ask you about BYU. Do you think that Altman is kind of set right now in his style, and that we may not see a really talented big person? They're hard to come by, first of all, playing at Oregon. Or do you have that mindset where it's just kind of he's got a bunch of really go-go guys, and he wants to get shooters, and they're going to – they're never going to be in it, or they're never going to be out of it.
Yeah. I don't know if that is him saying this is not what I want. I think he is just such a good coach that if he just uses whatever he has, and he's like that chef in the kitchen, that says, hey, well, let's see, I've got this, I've got these ingredients, and all right, let's see what I can make out of it. And so I think that's kind of how he plays. I mean, if you watch, because, he recruited Landon, my son, and we watched film of his days with Creighton, and they had a very talented big man, and they used him a lot. The ball went through him a lot. So, he showed us video of it, and so it was very easy to see that, because he had a really talented big man that he was able to have the offense basically flow through him. So, no, I don't think it's impossible for him to find someone. I think he's had some, not so great luck in it. And sometimes if you're a big, you're looking at their style of play. It might be hard to envision him using a big in a way. But I think if he did find somebody, I think that they could be that he would figure out a way to use him properly.
Richard, I personally think that I have no allegiance to the school, but my personal opinion is that anybody that thinks BYU is on the bubble doesn't know anything about college basketball. That's been the big debate out west, whether they're in or not. I think you definitely got to put them in there. They're playing some of the best basketball in the country in the last month. They did lose the championship to Gonzaga, but they also broke Gonzaga's 41-game home winning streak, which is nearly impossible, obviously, by that streak to beat them there. And I think they're really talented and exciting. The NCAA wants them in there, and I think they're going to be in there.
Yeah. Well, NCAA wants them in there because, obviously, BYU has an unbelievable following, and so I think that's important. And also, they, Hawes and I think the other kids, Collinsworth, I think it's the other.
Collinsworth, correct.
Collinsworth. Those are two guys who are nightmares to try and guard. I mean, Hawes will drop 40 on you and without even breaking a sweat. I think you're absolutely right. I think they've done enough. And I can tell you one other thing. I know we're running out of time, but, there was lots of debates on the Talking Ducks, just a few weeks ago about UCLA and should UCLA be in. And I'm thinking, why would a team like UCLA be in? they haven't beaten anybody. You know, I mean, you need to, I mean, the NCAA doesn't have unlimited number of teams. You know what I mean? You've got to beat some people that are worth beating in order to get a nod. And it's just, there's too many good teams out there. The Big 12 is probably going to take 12. I mean, excuse me, Big 12 is probably going to take 7 teams. I mean, so you can't take an average UCLA team just because it's UCLA. So, anyway, that's a whole other discussion.
I agree with that. I'm glad you brought that up. I do not think UCLA's in there unless they really just come up and, you know, win the, you know, finish runner-up, then they might be considered. I don't think they'll win the Pac-12 tournament. And you know, there's one more guy on that BYU team that gets Portland the other night. I think he had 22 at halftime. That Fisher kid, I mean, he's a sophomore, and he can just light it up like you can't believe. When he gets hot, he doesn't miss. So they're with the freshman center, and I can never pronounce his name. They're really going to be good next year too. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Hogg is only a junior, right?
Yeah, and no, he's a senior.
Is he?
I can't remember. Collingsworth to Oz, one of them is senior, one is a junior. And I think it's Collingsworth is the junior because Oz seems like he's been there, one of those guys that's been there 20 years. But anyway, exactly. Next week we're going to talk about Landon, quite a bit, your son at Kansas. And maybe
he's got a big game tomorrow.
Yeah, big game tomorrow, and get some thoughts about how he plans to attack the NCAA tournament. And, you know, in about 30 seconds, Richard, is Gonzaga a 2-seed now?
You think they're going to drop to a 2-seed? I don't think they should.
I do.
Yeah, I don't think so. Who do you think should take over for the 1?
Well, I'm not quite sure yet, but I don't think they're a 1-seed. I think they dropped out with that BYU loss because I think everybody's nervous when they went in there as a 1-seed last year, and they couldn't get it done. And so I'm not sure they're going to get another chance.
I think they still get it. Yeah, I think they still get it. Yeah.
It'll be interesting. Hey, Richard, next week's show will be awesome. We got Landon. You're going to talk to Landon, a big report about Kansas. We're
going
to talk about
Gonzaga. Playing and all that.
Yep, absolutely. And, of course, we'll know all about it. We'll kind of go through the NCAA. Don't miss us next week. Richard Lucas, thank you. And we'll talk to everybody again next Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Good night, everyone. And don't forget to make your free throws. Good night, Richard.
Bye-bye.